Welcome everyone to my Dear Lovely Universe podcast. Here's Sarah V, and we are going to be talking today about living with acne and mental disorders. I'm really excited about this because I met Sarah at Coffee Cartel at a poetry night, and she was talking about these things that she had to overcome in her life, so I invited her to do a podcast with me today, so...
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Thanks. So let's just jump right into it.
Okay.
So what age were you when you began, when acne became in the picture, and how has it positively, negatively affected your life?
Okay. So I first got acne when I was about 12 years old, and kind of out of nowhere, I started getting this really bad cystic acne. And that was really hard because at that point I was surrounded by a lot of pretty people, mm-hmm. People who seemed to have like perfect, flawless skin and just were gorgeous. And as an already kind of awkward kid, having that on top of it was just kind of devastating. And then I later found out that the reason I had acne at that point in my life was because of some food allergies. So once I started, avoiding those foods, a lot of the cysts went away, but it very much still kind of left me with this, this inner insecurity,
yeah.
You know, and it really started this whole lifelong thing of feeling insecure about my face and my skin. But I was dealing with it okay. And then unfortunately this past year I got a really bad infection on one side of my face, which spread mm-hmm. everywhere. And that's the worst I've ever had it ever in my life, and it was incredibly painful, and I've had to go to a lot of different doctors and things just trying to get back on track, get back to my normal. So that's been really hard too, just dealing with the medical side of it as well. Mm-hmm. So in that way it's negatively affected me, and also unfortunately kind of messed with my mental health a bit. One, because of the medications I'm on for my acne don't work well with my mental health. And also because, you know, it's really hard when you wake up in the morning every day and you don't like what you see, and there's not really anything that you can do about it,
yeah.
You know? So in those ways, it's been negative, but it's weird. Also because of that, it's kind of had a positive effect. Like, this past 6 months where it's been the worst it's ever been, it was a kind of a humbling experience because it forced me to really stop caring so much. Because mm-hmm. I realized I can't go out in public with makeup right now. I'm just going to have to deal with it and get over it and hope that people see me for more than my acne. And that was, I think, kind of a powerful thing because it forced me to look more internally and work on who I was as a person. And I became a lot more compassionate towards other people because
yeah, definitely.
I was dealing with something that was really hard. And so I wanted to be there for other people who were dealing with something that was also difficult. So in that kind of weird way, it had a positive effect, I think, on just kind of who I am and how I interact with people.
Yeah, I remember when I was, dealing with really severe acne, and people would judge me and just say things, or, you know, just the kind of energy right. that you receive when something like that is on your face. Mm-hmm. And people would... just say all these things, and I remember thinking to myself, I have no control over this, mm-hmm. like literally zero. If I could make it not exist, I would,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing like I can do about it, and I'm trying my best. So it's like when you realize that there's stuff like that, that there's literally nothing like you can do about it, it made me a lot more compassionate too. Because you realize that people are born into certain situations and there's nothing they can do about it. Or, you know, medical issues, there's nothing right. they can do about it.
There's also, I think, something kind of powerful in acknowledging your situation and not letting it get the best of you. Like, mm-hmm. and that's really hard, especially, you know, as much as this has been a struggle for me, I know other people who have had a lot more severe struggles dealing with mm-hmm. other medical issues or honestly anything else. And it can be kind of a powerful thing to look it in the face and go, you know what, I'm not going to let this define me. I'm going to find a way to yeah. make the most of this and not let it get to you, which is hard. But I think that yeah. kind of finding that balance can be a powerful thing.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with you. completely agree with you. At first, when I had acne, I let it have power over me. Mm-hmm. And I would, like, try to cover it up. I was ashamed when people would, like, make fun of me. But then I started to realize that there was just nothing I could do about it. It's just part of my life. And I have to get over it and be mm-hmm. happy regardless. And I think it's through the struggles that you find strength.
Absolutely.
You grow.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's such a cliche sentence, but you know what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. As much as I hate that, it's very accurate, which is, you know, I think why people say it so much. But mm-hmm. I think it is very true, you know, in most cases, it does teach you how to become a stronger person. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, definitely. So you mentioned that people's comments have made an impact on you in the past. Can you paint a picture of what that looks like?
Yeah, it's been so interesting to me on how many people think it's their place to comment on something that's really none of their business. Like, I get it. If you're going to a doctor, you're going to get medical advice. If you, you know, go to an expert and you're asking for their advice on something, like, that's fine, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, I've had people, complete strangers, come up to me and make comments about my skin. I've had professors do that, peers do that, you know, people that I don't know or don't know very well, out of nowhere, just coming up and commenting on my skin. I think a couple weeks ago, I was sitting in a parking lot, like, waiting to pick up my sister, and the security guard comes over to me, and at first I'm like, oh, maybe am I parked in the wrong place? Like, and I never met her before in my life, and she goes, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but, like, my, you know, I have this, like, special soap for the skin, and I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I'm literally just sitting in a parking lot. God forbid I decide to go one day without makeup, and yeah, you think it's your place to come over and suggest some soap, you know? Like, and that's not a rare occurrence. Like, that's happened to me several times. And I don't see that as any different than going up to somebody who's heavier and being like, have you tried this weight loss program? Like, it's none of your business. You know, like, if I go up to you and ask for your advice and your opinion, that's one thing. But, you know, don't walk up to somebody and just give them unwarranted advice out of nowhere. You know, it wasn't even like we were having a conversation. It was literally out of nowhere. So, yeah, it just... makes,
how does that, like, make, like, a feeling, like...
Oh, it totally, shoots down your self-confidence. Like, you know, especially, you know, those are the days when I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to wear makeup today. It's not worth it. You know, I don't feel like it. I just want to not care today. And of course, just when you're like, you know what, it's not that bad. Like, I don't think it's that noticeable. Like, it's not a big deal. And then someone makes a comment like that, it completely just changes, like, how you feel. At least for me, like, I was just starting to feel confident, I was just starting to feel good, and then someone makes a comment on it, I'm like, oh, like, when you look at me, that's all you see. Mm-hmm. All you see is acne. You don't see a person. You just see a problem that you think you can solve, which is not your place to solve. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's been, it definitely can have a negative effect on your self-confidence, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. When I was younger and I was getting lunch with my dad at Whole Foods, some lady that my dad was, like, acquainted with at the register, she goes something, she made some remark about my skin, and it was like, she's like saying that she knew someone that could help and stuff like that, and I understand that she's just trying to help,
right?
But when you're standing there and she's talking about your skin,
right,
it made me feel, at least, like, one, embarrassed.
Yeah.
Two, like, that, like, we could talk about how pretty my eyes are, or my hair, something like that, but we don't need to keep talking about my acne. Like, I already don't feel, like, at the time, I didn't feel comfortable with it, so it's, like, to bring it up again, it's, like, putting more salt in a wound.
Right, and is it really a good idea to bring up acne? I mean, I don't know how old you were when this happened, but is it really a good idea to comment on a teenage girl's appearance when we're already, like, so self-conscious and insecure? Mm-hmm. Like, anybody, regardless of gender, going through puberty, I think that's one of the most self-conscious points in your life, when you're trying to, you know, hormones are raging and you're trying to figure out who you are, and when somebody, like, makes a comment like that, it can really mess with you.
Yeah.
Because you're not at a point of maturity where you can, like, take it and digest it and go, she was just trying to be helpful, like, it came from a good place. You know, when you're at that point in your life, even now, I'm not quite out of that, where I still get like, offended when people bring it up,
yeah.
you know? And I hope that I'll be able to move past that and take it with a grain of salt and handle it better. Like, that's definitely something that I've really tried to work on. But, yeah, it can totally, you know, when you say that to someone who's younger, it can totally mess mm-hmm. with their self-confidence and self-esteem.
Yeah. I think my recommendation for someone, if you want to say something to someone about something that's not your place and you just have to,
yeah.
maybe ask them, would it be okay if I said something about your appearance or something like that? And if they say no, then respect that space.
Right.
But don't just dive right in.
Right.
You know?
Or yeah. pro tip, if you don't know that person, maybe just kind of keep it to yourself.
yeah, definitely. So,
because I promise you don't have the magic cure, because there is no magic cure.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist, or I would have found it at this point.
Yeah, I think the safe rule is just keep it to yourself.
Exactly.
So, what perspective do you have on your acting now?
Definitely I look back at it and, you know, even currently going through it, and you kind of have to see it as something that's out of your control, something you're, you know, doing everything within your power to try and correct, but at the end of the day, there are things that are out of your control that you can't do anything about. And that can be something, I think, really instrumental in maturing as a person and learning about how to handle things in life that are beyond your control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, sometimes stuff just happens that you can't do anything about, and you have to find a way to deal with it and move on and not let it completely confiscate your life, because what's that going to do? You know, like, what good is going to come out of obsessing over your appearance all the time mm-hmm. and constantly, you know, feeling self-conscious and letting that be the thing that defines you, rather than trying to look inward and going, okay, I can't control my external appearance right now, but what can I do to improve as a person? Like, how can I treat others in a way that's more compassionate or a way that's kinder? How can I show myself loving kindness and be compassionate towards myself and, mm-hmm. you know, come to a better headspace? How can I focus on other things that are more positive and constructive and actually do something good rather than focusing on something that's out of my control? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's kind of the perspective I've learned to have on it, and I'm continuing to learn to have on it because it's still an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the important thing is just to not let it define you or completely control you.
Yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree. So, could you tell me a little bit about your mental disorders and what that's been in, like, in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I've always had issues regarding that kind of thing from a young age. When I was younger, like, really young, I had a lot of anger management problems. I would, like, lash out at people. Sometimes I would get, like, physically abusive, like, as a young kid. And mm-hmm. I didn't know why, like, I couldn't control my emotions, like, and I, you know, I obviously wasn't doing it to just act out and get attention. Like, I honestly could not control myself when I got really worked up and really upset. So, when I was young, I ended up getting diagnosed with something called emotional dysregulation, which basically just means that the part of my brain that controls my emotions is more in control than the part of my brain that's more logical and would normally keep that in check. So it was, like, an actual diagnosable thing. But at that point, you know, my parents were trying to treat it and ended up sending me to a treatment program that gave me PTSD, which was very unfortunate and obviously not their intention at all. But because that was a traumatic experience, after that treatment ended, I was just like, I'm going to pretend that I'm fine because I don't want to be sent to that again. Because I was too afraid to talk to my parents, and that was a mistake. Like, looking back, I wish I had just been honest and been like, this was not a good experience for me. I don't want to do this again. This isn't working. But I wanted to be fixed, right? Like, I didn't want to deal with this anymore. I wanted mm-hmm. it to be over and done with, and I'm normal now. Yay! But that's not how it works. And unfortunately, it drove me to a pretty dark place. And I was kind of in and out of that place for about 4 or 5 years
mm-hmm.
after that. And finally, when I was about 16, I caved and I hit rock bottom, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I don't want to feel this way anymore. I was dealing with anxiety. I was dealing with depression. those had both been like lifelong things. And finally I went, you know what? I will, you know, I'll take medication. I'll see a therapist. Mm-hmm. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And the minute I did that, things really drastically changed for the better. I finally got a diagnosis of bipolar 2, and just getting that diagnosis really was helpful. Like, I think labels sometimes can be a helpful thing because it helps you identify a problem or something that you're going through, and you can go, oh my gosh, that's what this is. And as soon as I got that diagnosis, I looked up online, you know, what it meant and what other people's experiences were with it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like these people are just like me. You know, because at that point, I didn't know anybody else who was dealing with any kind mm-hmm. of mental disorder or disability. And, you know, reading these articles online, I'm like, these people, all the things that they're describing as part of their normal life, that's exactly who I am. Like, that makes so much sense, and everything kind of clicked. And the minute that I felt like I had found a community and I felt like I had found other people like me, like, that was very powerful, and it really helped me kind of come to terms with it and realize that I wasn't alone, that I wasn't a freak, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times if you're dealing with something, you know, somewhere on that spectrum, it's very easy to look at yourself and go, you know, there's something wrong with me, I'm this terrible person, instead of just looking at it as, you know, this is just a part of my life, you know, and you learn how to deal with it, and you learn how to not let it define you, like with acne, you know, it's mm-hmm. just another part of me. But yeah, finally getting that diagnosis made a big difference. And in the last, it's been now like 7 years almost, I've really made a big turnaround. And I'm not perfect. I still have bad days, but I have a lot fewer of those bad days. And I've been given the tools now on how to control it. And it doesn't completely overrun my life like it did when I was mm-hmm. younger.
Yeah, that's good. I definitely feel like we should embrace both sides of ourselves, all sides, rather. And, you know, anxiety, depression, all of those, they're just, I feel like, just as important to what makes you who you are, because without those, you wouldn't be who you are.
Absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. we have to have the good and the bad. And I don't necessarily feel like anxiety is necessarily a bad thing either,
right?
Or going through those things, you know.
I think in one of the most important thing that I've learned from going to therapy, which mm-hmm. just a little PSA, like, I think everybody should go to therapy at least once in their lives, regardless of if you have anything going on or not, because it can be a really healthy way to just learn more about yourself, because we all have, you know, things that we do that are, you know, can be destructive or can be yeah. harmful. And I think it's a powerful thing to be able to kind of let your walls down with somebody who's not going to judge you, who's not going to go and tell the world all yeah. your issues. You know, literally the safest place you can possibly be to just let it out. So, mm-hmm. like, I totally recommend it for everybody. But one of the most helpful things that my therapist has said to me is, you know, when you're thinking about something, you don't think about it as something good or bad. Rather, think about it, this thing happened in this way, in this place, at this time. Mm-hmm. Like, just letting it be. Letting it exist. Not making it a good or a bad thing, just this thing happened in this way, and then at yeah. this in this place, at this time. You know? And yeah. you just kind of take a deep breath and go, okay, alright, I'm gonna let this thing exist and be, and not make it into something that it's not. And that's yeah. that's been helpful, you know, mm-hmm. because I think as humans, it's kind of our nature to, we want to categorize something as good or bad. And at least for me, I have a hard time letting things just be neutral, because part of having bipolar is I have, you know, really high highs and really low lows, which is what medication and going to therapy helps kind of regulate and keep it more in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it can be harder for me to put things in a neutral place because I kind of see the world as black and white in a lot of ways. Mm. But I repeat that to myself a lot, especially when I start to spiral or I start to, you know, get really worked up over something. I just kind of repeat that.
Yeah.
So that's been really helpful.
So when you do find yourself in a place of like spiraling down or like a low point, what do you do to help climb yourself back out of it?
Yeah, so the first time I had it hit like a really low point, this was long before I got my diagnosis. I was about 11 and I just was really depressed. I I think I was being bullied at that point. Honestly, that point in my life is so fuzzy. I don't know exactly what sparked it or if it was just an accumulation of different things. But I know I was getting bullied at that point and was just having some other struggles. And I was really depressed and actually suicidal. Like, I had thoughts of suicide. I didn't attempt. But they were there. They were present. I actually remember sitting on the floor of my closet and planning my own funeral, which I look back on it and and I have to kind of laugh about it. It's a funny thing to, or a weird thing to laugh about, but just because that's very different from who I am now, and I look at the difference from, you know, and how far I've come since then. I'm so different from that little 11-year-old to now someone who's almost 21. It's been, you know, almost a decade, and it's I think very cool to look back and go, you know, yeah, I have made a big turnaround. Like, I'm much better and in a much better place now.
Yeah.
But what I recognized, what I figured out was that music was the most powerful thing in getting out of that place. Like, I'd always been musically inclined. Like, I'd been singing since I could talk. I grew up in a musical household. So I already loved music and I had that connection to it. Mm-hmm. But when I was 11 and I was dealing with all this stuff, I started writing music. I started writing songs. And that became my diary, and that became my outlet to get out all these emotions that were so overwhelming and could really take over my mind. And at that point, that was a really bad thing. And writing music was a way that was constructive and healthy and positive and, you know, not harmful, and kind of created something beautiful. You know, it created something. Definitely. Rather than just kind of letting all these things control me, I channeled them, I got to release them out into the world, and then I could kind of take a deep breath and go, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, it's not as bad right now, you know? So for me, songwriting became a really powerful tool in kind of getting out of that place.
Yeah, that's great. I think something we mentioned before was writing in a journal or a notebook is really great for some people, and I mean, it's really helped me at certain points in my life, but sometimes it's kind of hard or challenging for me to, I don't know, write down my days. I don't know, I think it varies on the person, the time, the place. But recently I started writing poems, which I guess is similar to a certain degree, and I feel like if you're not comfortable writing in a journal, try writing poems or try writing songs. Try other things. Like, you don't need to just write in a journal. There's, like, lots of things you could do.
Absolutely, yeah. And I actually didn't start writing poems until I think I was about 15 or so, maybe 16. Mm-hmm. And that became another way to channel my emotions and get out things in a more kind of unstructured form. Because as much as I love writing songs, and that's been really helpful, it is a different structure, and it's, you know, a two-parter, right? You have to come up with the words and the melody and the instrumental and what accompanies it. It's, I think, can be more of an extensive process.
Yeah.
And with poems, you can literally put anything down and it becomes a poem, which is the cool thing about poetry. It can be whatever you want it to be. It's kind of unlimited, and there is no, there's no rules. It's not really, I don't think there's really rules in songwriting, but there's absolutely no rules when it comes to poetry.
Yeah.
Which is great. If you just, you know, if you're pissed off at somebody, you can just write down a bunch of angry words, and it's like, okay, all right.
It's art. I got
my feelings out. It's art, exactly. It's just another form of art, and I love it. It can definitely be really great.
Another thing that I also really like about songwriting, poetry, I feel like journaling, it's really empowering in a way that it's, you can either make it public or private.
Yeah.
But I feel like in general, songwriting and poetry is more of a public thing that we like to share.
Mm-hmm.
And by sharing that, we're not only empowering ourselves by releasing it, but we're empowering others when they read it and they feel not so alone.
Yeah.
And they can resonate with what we're saying.
Yeah, going off of that point, I think, you know, as far as with acne and with any kind of mental disability, whether that's, you know, anxiety, depression, or something like bipolar, ADHD, etc., is there such a stigma around it? Especially, you know, being in the era of social media where everybody presents these perfect lives and, you know, perfect bodies and skin and whatever, and that can be really hard when you log on to Instagram or, you know, Twitter or whatever, and everybody's living, you know, seemingly perfect lives, and you're like, oh, I can't possibly live up to that. And say you, you know, you're dealing with something like acne or a mental disability, and, you know, you're like, I don't know anybody who's dealing with any of this. Mm-hmm. Like, I must be the only one in the world who's dealing with this or is feeling this way. And you don't want to talk about it because it's not something that is easily talked about in our society. Mm-hmm. And I think it is very much a worldwide problem in most of the world. But especially in this country, we don't have a lot of conversations, one, about acne, and more importantly, about mental health. And so I think it is so important, if you find it within yourself, if you find the confidence to go, you know what, I am going to talk about this, I am going to share this, you know, because I want to help somebody else not feel as alone, because I want to break down the stigma. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, stigmatizing something isn't beneficial for anybody, especially with something that is as common as acne, or is as surprisingly common as something like depression or anxiety or something else. A lot of people deal with it and are afraid to talk about it because they don't want to be seen differently. Mm-hmm. Like, before I was even diagnosed with bipolar, I mean, I'd hear comments about people saying, oh, this crazy bipolar lady, you know, or making comments about people like that. And then, you know, when you find out that you have that thing, that can be really devastating to think back on those comments and go, oh, if I'm open about it, then people are going to judge me. But there was, when I was diagnosed, at first it was like, you know, oh my gosh, like, people are going to see me differently. Like, I'm broken, you know, which I think can be a reaction to finding out that you're different in some way. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm not normal. There's something wrong with me. I thought back to this interview that Demi Lovato did, and I was really a big fan of hers from the time I was young, loved her music, really liked her as a person. And she did this interview, I think, on Ellen, and very nonchalantly mentioned that she was bipolar, that she had bipolar. Like, it was no big deal. Like, Ellen was surprised by it, and I think it was the first time she'd mentioned it publicly, but it was so nonchalant. It was like, yeah, I have bipolar. You didn't know that? Like, you know, it was just like a part of who I am, as much as, like, you know, her hair is, you know, at that point brown, or she's a singer. It's just, that's who I am. Okay. You know, didn't make a big deal out of it. It was just acknowledging it. And I loved that, you know, and that was very important, looking back on that and going, okay, look at how successful she's been. She doesn't let it define her. If she can do it, so can I.
Yeah.
And I think the more we talk about it, the more we break down those walls and stigmas, and hopefully, you know, make it a safer place for people to feel like they can just be themselves and just exist.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely agree. We should all be open to talking about any, not just anxiety or depression, but anything we're feeling. If it's happiness, if it's sadness, if it's grieving, we should talk about these things, and we should be receptive to talking about it if someone else is feeling that way too. I feel like also another point to bring up is, don't withhold mentioning something because you think it's going to make someone else feel uncomfortable. Because I think that's a good thing. I think we should make people feel uncomfortable. That's the only way that we're going to bring about change.
Absolutely.
You know? Do you have any, like, advice to anyone dealing with acne, or, like, in a really low point in life, or, like, with mental disorders? Anything you would want to say to them?
I think one of the most important things that I've learned, and I'm still learning, is just to find a way to not let it define you, and to not let that be the biggest part of your life, and to not let that be the thing that completely takes over everything else. And that can be hard, you know, especially when you have, especially if you have both, it can be really overwhelming. And, you know, you feel like everything's just going wrong. Like, why can't I have something just function properly for once? Like, why do I have to deal with all this? Mm-hmm. And that can be a struggle, and that can be difficult. But, you know, if you can find some positivity out of it, which can be really hard, I think that can be really instrumental in helping you to not fall into a bad place, or to kind of try to get yourself out of a bad place. Like, for me with acne, it was learning how to become a better person, because I was kind of hoping that if I was a good person, that would reflect out, and that's what people would notice about me and not my acne. As far as, you know, dealing with mental disorders, it was like, okay, you know, it's really hard right now because the world feels like it's just falling apart, but how can I, you know, make this a positive thing, you know? And for me, that became songwriting, that became, you know, creating something that was beautiful and something that I could share with people and something I could even use to help somebody else not feel as alone, you know? So I think helping, finding something that is your outlet and finding a way to not let that completely control you can be really helpful.
Definitely. I definitely agree. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the conversation. Would you like to share your Instagram or any of your social medias?
Yeah, so I have an Instagram. You're welcome to follow me. It's at Sarah V Music. So Sarah with a H and then V as in Virginia. So feel free to follow me. I also have a website. The link to that's in my bio. And if you want to check that out, go for it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I really think that our conversation is going to help a lot of people. And I really appreciate, you know, opening up about all of these things. This, I feel like, is what's going to begin to create a change. You know, talking about these topics. It's really important. So thank you also to our listeners. If you enjoyed our podcast, please feel free to share, like, and comment. All of your responses are appreciated. And also let me know what topics that you would like me to write about or film next. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Bye.